Well, amen. Thank you, Barry and Sarah. What a blessing. Appreciate that. 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 7 is our text. 1 Samuel 14, 7. We just read the passage. And at the top of my super giant print Bible heading, it has Jonathan's plan. I always laugh every time I see that. Jonathan's plan, it says up here. Boy, you talk about a plan. I mean, what a plan. Two against hundreds. Jonathan just said, somebody's got to do something, and I'm going to do it. And he said to his armor bearer, what do you think? You know, that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Here's what the armor bearer said. He said in verse 7, I am with thee according to thy heart. I like that. Isn't that good? I am with thee. Whatever's in your heart, whatever you say, Jonathan, you know what? I'm with you. I'm not going to criticize you. Could he have criticized this plan? I mean, there was a lot to criticize with this plan. This plan is a plan set for disaster. This plan, you could call all the budget committees in the world and they're not going to figure this one out. You could call all the strategic planners in the world together and they're not going to figure out a way that this plan's going to work. This plan is not going to work except God intervenes and makes the plan work, amen? But there was somebody there, and I've often wondered if the armor bearer would have said, no way, Jose. I wonder what would have happened. But he said, I'm with thee. I am with thee. I want to talk to you about those words, I am with thee. Father, bless, please, the preaching of thy word. Thank you for the good music. Thank you for the folks that are here today. And Lord, help us realize it's not an accident we're here. It is on purpose. And you have something for us. Speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, again, verse 7, we're not talking about Jonathan saying to the armor bearer, all right, look, we have some nuclear tanks coming in. We have a couple of stealth bombers flying in. We have machine gunners all around. We're talking about the armor bearer hearing his leader say, look, there's two of us and there's hundreds of them. We have no idea how many of them we're going to end up fighting, but we're going to go out and we're going to do something. And the armor bearer simply did not consider how many. Stay with me now, all right? Let me help you. He didn't stop and say, well, let me figure this out. He didn't stop and count the enemy. He didn't stop and say, you know, I could be killed in this thing. He just looked at his leader and he said, I'm with you. I'm with you. No matter what, I'm with you according to your heart. That's an old-fashioned character quality called loyalty. It's boy, you don't see a lot of that anymore. You don't see as much of it as you used to see. It's just, Jonathan, whatever you say, I'm with you. You're the leader, I'm with you. I'll follow you. Doesn't matter, I am with you. By the way, the word loyalty is defined in my dictionary anyway as simply faithful. And I was kind of surprised. I was looking for a real fancy kind of a definition, but really it's just faithful. In other words, you can count on them. Certainly we could see that here with Jonathan. I mean, here is somebody he could count on. He said, I've got a guy on my side. I can count on this guy. When it looks bad, when it looks like there's no way in the world we're going to be able to win this thing, it looks like this plan is terrible, this plan is not a good idea, this plan could never work, his armor bearer just didn't care about any of that. He didn't care about what all the what they were saying in Vegas as far as the odds. He didn't care about what the newspapers were writing. He didn't care about what all the gossip columnists were talking about. He just said, you know what? I believe in you, Jonathan. I follow you, Jonathan. I'm with you. Man, I like that. That is good stuff. Old-fashioned character quality. You know, you can count on them. You see, most people today, it's all about what can I get? Most people today, I mean, loyalty, that's why loyalty is such a lost art a lost character quality because, you know, we've seen the draft dodgers. We've seen all the protesters. We've seen the flag burners. We've seen, you know, people show all kinds of disloyalty as far as our country is concerned. We've seen divorce and separation. We've seen churches dump the Bible left and right. We've watched them throw out the King James Bible. We've seen them throw out eternal security and salvation by grace. We've seen fundamentalists quit talking about the blood of Jesus because it offended people. We've seen separation thrown out. We've seen soul winning thrown out. We've seen bus ministries dropped. Where's the loyalty? I mean, we've seen Christians like the Laodicean church who lost their first love, and the first love ought to have tied to it loyalty. You know what? God, I love you, and I'm with you. And whatever you say, God, that's what I'm going to do. That's called loyalty. But most today are, you know, we're looking after ourselves. You'll notice verse 2. By the way, this is all introduction. I'll get into the message sometime. But in verse 2, it says, Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron, and the people that were with him were about 600 men. Now, you know, Jonathan is saying, I want to do something. Jonathan is saying, we have a need here. We have an enemy out here. They're keeping us from food and water, and they're threatening us. And Jonathan is saying, somebody has got to do something. Kind of reminds you of David with Goliath, right? And Jonathan's saying, I got to do something. Something's got to happen here. But Saul, who is the leader, the Bible says he tarried under a pomegranate tree. Boy, that sounds like America, doesn't it? While the few are trying to do something, the 600 are under the pomegranate tree. While the few are trying to make things happen, the 600 are trying to figure out how to do it. Or criticize the ones that are doing something about it. Can you imagine had Jonathan said to the 600 under the pomegranate tree, that had to be a big tree. Anyway, no, they're not all under the tree, but they're all just doing nothing. And if Jonathan would have come, you say, why didn't Jonathan get the rest of them? Because they're all just sitting there doing nothing. They would have criticized, or they would have done like people are doing today. They would have said nothing and then waited to see what happened, then took the side of whatever happened. Well, that's what's going on today, isn't it? I don't want to get involved in politics. I try to avoid that. But I just let me just tell you something. You know, people that sit back and say nothing when decisions have to be made. Okay, look, do you want the 600 doing nothing, or do you want the two that are doing something? Hello? I mean, oh, I'll take the 600. That's the majority. No, what you need is somebody that'll just stand up and have the guts to do something. I get tired of the media criticizing those that are doing something. And okay, maybe the something didn't work out like they thought it might, but they're doing something about things that go on. I mean, if people come in and bomb our country and we just sit there and sit under a pomegranate tree, if people kill our people and come on our land and do it, and we just sit there and do nothing. But you know, the pomegranate dwellers, they love to wait and see what happens, and then if things don't work out, like, then they can criticize. I am so sick and tired of that. You ought to get sick and tired of that too. But anyway, that's not what I'm preaching about, but it does have to do with loyalty. A faithful person, somebody you can count on. You can't count on the 600. Amen. We want to yoke up with the 600 when we got two that say, I want to do something. Could you imagine Jonathan running to the 600 and saying, hey, I got a plan. We're just going to go attack them and we're going to defeat them. And the 600 say, we'll see how it works out. You know, by the way, they do join them later on. Weenies. They're not even Oscar Mayer weenies. They are the black and white package generic weenies. Amen. Look, it's time for loyalty. It's time for people to say, I am with thee. Look at Proverbs 25, verse 19. I'm still on the introduction. I got a lot of introduction. You say, well, the message ought to be short. I wouldn't guarantee that necessarily. Proverbs 25, verse 19. I love this verse. This is such a good verse. Describes so many people. Proverbs 25, 19. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. You ever had a broken tooth? And you go to bite into a T-bone steak and it doesn't work out? You say, preacher, why didn't you say apple? Because there is no comparison. I'll take a T-bone steak over an apple any day. But you know, and then that foot out of joint, you try to run on it, and it doesn't work out real well. Huh? That's how the disloyal people are. They're like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. You can't count on them. You can't trust them. They're not with you. They wait and see. They sit under a pomegranate tree and wait and see what's going to happen while the others are out there saying, let's make something happen. Amen. Amen. I am with thee. I want to give you several things here, five things that I think we need to be loyal to. Number one, be loyal to the states. Be loyal to your country. Be loyal to, you say, why'd you say states? Because it starts with an S and everything starts with an S in my outline. Amen. So it worked. I couldn't come up with enough U's to say be loyal to the United States. I couldn't come up with enough C's to say be loyal to the country. So we're going to be loyal to the states. Just trying to be honest with you today. Patriotic rallies, you know, and things like that. You say, wow, that's loyalty. No, a lot of times it's so you can get a free hot dog. Amen. I'm going to tell you, yeah, you like that. No, you like anything free. But look, I'm not talking about gimmicks. I'm talking about saying I really love America. Let's take our definition. Faithful. Are you a faithful American? In other words, can America count on you? I like what JFK said in his inaugural address. He said, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. Now, you know, a lot of the people that quote him on that haven't got a clue what that means. And a lot of people that say they like that, they don't have a clue what that means. But literally, what can you do for your country? That's patriotism. That's loyalty. Amen. I mean, it's how can I help my country? I'm not talking about a gimmick. I'm talking about saying I love America, I'm proud of America, and I want to help America. Now, that doesn't mean we have to agree with everything that goes on in America. But it does mean that we say, I want to help. I mean, there are things going on, there are things happening in America that it's unbelievable those kind of things would ever happen in America. But we still need to love our country, and we need to do our part to help our country. I don't know anybody that did more for America than what Berean Baptist Church did last week with Vacation Bible School. You say, how does that help America? Because we saw people saved, because lives were changed, because children. Look, that's another generation. Are we going to lose another generation? We need to do our part with the children in America. I'm trying to do something for our country. Are you? What would you be willing to do for your country? I mean, you know, there are so many things we don't like about America, but it's still the greatest nation in the world. What are you going to do? I mean, are you really loyal? Well, you know, I've decided just sit and watch. Yeah, you like the pomegranate tree. Go hug that thing. I am so sick and tired of hearing the word green. I don't know where all this is coming from, folks. I've got to believe it's coming from the Holy Spirit. But I'm just tired of hearing all that stuff. You know? Well, I'm loyal. I'm recycling. That has nothing to do with loyalty. Hello? Some of you are scared to say anything. Because you're politically, well, I got to be politically correct. Did you know that then you're sitting on unpolitically correct pews? Amen. Your pews are robbing oxygen from the world. Drives me nuts. Anyway, well, we just need to all be green. You know, I purposely am not wearing green for a while. Just in protest. Amen. I'm not against green things. I'm just against all the garbage that everybody is buying into and global warming and all that kind of... Do you understand that global warming... You say, is this in your notes? I'm so far from my notes. I have no idea if I'll ever get back there. Here's the thing, all right? One year we have a drought and they say that's global warming. Guess what they're saying now about all the floods? That's exactly right. So if it snows too much, it's global warming. If it doesn't snow enough, it's global warming. If it rains too much, it's global warming. If we have drought, it's global warming. Everything's global warming. Huh? You know, here's what it's about. It's about control. That's all it's about. And the fact of the matter is, you know, folks, to be loyal to the United States of America, whatever the law is, I mean, I'm going to keep the law. I'm going to abide by the law. One of these days they're going to tell us we're breathing too much of the oxygen. I don't know what you're going to do about that, but they'll figure something out. But I'm going to tell you something. We need to be loyal and say, how can I help my country? We did. We did. And we're doing it this morning in preaching the Word of God. You know what? Hey, you know, I've talked about this before. You have a vote. Amen? You have a vote. You say, well, I'm not going to vote. Okay, sit under your pomegranate tree. Get pomegranates to drop on your hard head. And I'm telling you this, if you don't vote, then you didn't do all you could, because you can do that. You can do it, and you ought to do it, and you do all you can do. And I did in the primary, too. Did you? Don't raise your hands. Don't embarrass yourself. But do not gripe and complain if you didn't vote in the primary. Brother Herndon, you like all this, don't you? Wait till the next points. It really gets hot. But I'm just saying, we have no right to complain if we don't do all we can do. You know, before you get on your knees and say, oh, God, get us out of this mess, did you do what you could do? Be a good American. Do everything you can. Just say, how can I help my country? I'll tell you another way. You can pray. You can pray. When is the last time you prayed for our president? Oh. You could hear the wind whistling through the lights, couldn't you? Huh? When's the last time you prayed for the Congress? When is the last time you prayed for our leaders? Oh, boy, it's easy to gripe about them. Boy, it's easy. Let me tell you something. Being a leader and making decisions, it's not all it's cracked up to be. You know, there is a loyalty that says, I will pray. I may not agree with everything our president does, but I pray for him and I don't trash him. I pray for him. Pray for your president. Pray for leaders. And preach the word, amen? Be loyal to the states. Go soul winning. Tell people about Jesus. There's nothing better for the United States. Do you understand why the country's great? It's not all of our resources. It's not. Do you understand? It's because God blesses America. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. If God is not the Lord, we'll be like third world countries. You know, oh, but America, all that gold and all the minerals that we have and all the resources. Yeah, that's because God blessed America. Had America been an atheistic nation, had it been founded on atheistic principles, Brother Hawkins, the gold wouldn't have been there. You say, well, you can't. I'm telling you, look around. America's not America because of luck. God touched America, blessed America, because God wanted a country that would sing God Bless America. You say, what's going to happen when, we've already read it. Read the book of Revelation. You've already read it. But you know what? Till that day, I'm going to be loyal to the states. I'm going to be loyal to America. Hey, the bus ministry is the greatest thing people can do for America. Soul winning, one of the greatest things you can do. Hey, be a part of reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The best American is a Bible-believing Christian. You know, people can talk, the liberals can talk about our Christian schools and talk bad about them all they want, but the best citizen of the United States of America is a Bible-believing Christian who grew up believing this book and who walks with God every day. That is the best. You say, well, what about those that are killing people? That's not what we believe. That's not what I believe. That's not what you believe. Yes, abortion's murder, but I'm not going to murder in order to stop murder. That's wrong. It's wicked. It's not biblical. We believe the Bible. So you're getting on everything, aren't you? I can't help it. Be loyal to the states. Number two, boy, this is so important, and we see it. We see it so often today. Be loyal to your spouse. Be loyal to your spouse. I do not understand, honestly. It's a sad testimony of our day, the disloyalty to spouses that we see. Huh? Where are the Tom Williams who literally took care of his wife for many, many years, 20-some years, and cared for her like a nurse in a nursing home would care for someone? I mean, day in, day out, taking care of her, because that's my wife. How many times did I hear him say, That's my wife. Can your spouse count on you? Can your spouse, does your spouse know that no matter what, I am with thee? Scary how quiet it can get. Does your spouse know that? I am with thee. Can they count on you? Hello. Sad, isn't it? I'll tell you, most of the couples in America could not say they know for sure they can count on their spouse. That's because so many of them are chatting with other people's spouses. And some of you are. And spending way too much time with other people's spouses. Where's the loyalty? I am with thee. By the way, you don't have to look at Tom Williams. Just all you have to do is look in our church. I've watched Kathy Morin sit. And Kathy, every chair Kathy sits in, her feet don't touch. And I've watched her little feet dangling from seat, hospital, nursing home now, hour after hour after hour after hour, just one noise from her husband. And she's up, and she's checking on him. Are you listening to me? So why would she do that? I'll tell you why, because of loyalty. I am with thee. Do you understand? There's nothing in it for her. But that's her husband. Now you put yourself in that. Can you count on your spouse? Can your spouse count on you? Huh? I mean, we get mad over the dumbest things. And mad to the point where we'll end something that we told God we would never end. I'm with you. You say, you don't understand, preacher. My husband, I understand Jonathan's battle plan wasn't too hot. But the armor bearer said, I'll follow you. I'm with you. It's because of good old-fashioned loyalty. Some guy, well, you don't understand. She doesn't look like she used to. Yeah, that's because she married you. You dare, any guy would dare criticize his wife after she's brought babies into this world, gone through what she's gone through, and you would even try to compare her with that skinny little model or something like that. You are a total, complete, fill in the blank. Starts with an I. Idiot. That's exactly right. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. But you're chatting with a beautiful thing. I hope it ends up being a 690-pound man. I can't wait for you to meet him. Wear a red flower. And then you go meet, and here's this 690-pound man with his red flower. I want to see it. Well, your spouse needs you to be loyal to her. Huh? I'm with thee. Well, you say, preacher, but he's a slob. Well, make him a king. I'm with thee. Disloyal. Disloyalty. Talking negative about your spouse to other people. That's pitiful. Yeah. Unbelievable. I can't even, my mind cannot fathom that kind of thing going on. But it does. It does. Hey, you say, yeah, but my husband's leading me recklessly. What about Jonathan's plan? It wasn't because the armor bearer thought they'd win. It was because I'm with you. He believed in him. Would to God we would get back to believing in our spouse. Amen. You know, wife, your wife needs to know that you're with her. Ma'am, your husband needs to know that you're with him, no matter what. They need to know that. Loyal to your spouse. Number three, be loyal to saints. That's each other. I am with thee. Can you count on, can you be counted on at Berean Baptist Church? We ought to have a loyalty to one another. We have the same King. I talk about this in my Sunday school class. We have the same Father. There ought to be a loyalty. By the way, when I hire staff people, I'm not looking for pretty boys. That should be pretty evident. The number one thing, and I ask this question to the references I get, are they loyal? I want to know, are they loyal? I want to know, can this person be counted on no matter what? You know, I'm not. We have too much going on to be second guessed all the time. There's too much happening. There's. You know, when the leader says, "Okay, here's what we need to do," and the leader knows a lot of things, and maybe you know just a little bit. Somewhere along the line, you might want to just say, "You know what? I'm going to trust the leader." There has to be that. I mean, there has to be a loyalty and a loyalty to the saints, to one another. There needs to be a loyalty to the pastor. It's crucial. The Bible says the pastor gives account, not to you, but to God. I am not afraid of any of you. Somebody says, you better be, buddy. I'm not. I never lose any sleep over humans. But I'm very concerned about the account I've got to give to God. I'm very concerned about answering to God for decisions that I make. Decisions to people sure, we try to do our very best, but the truth of the matter is, I stand before God Almighty giving account to Him. It scares me. It scares me. Plus, I love you, and I have nothing to gain in so many decisions. I just want to do what pleases God. There has to be a loyalty. There has to be a loyalty to one another. I need to be loyal to you. You need to be loyal to me. Will we always agree? Of course not. People don't always agree, but there has to be a loyalty. And it's crucial, absolutely crucial. We need to be loyal to each other. We need to be loyal to other believers. You know, I often think about children who tell on other children. And the way I deal with that is, okay, ask yourself this question. Am I telling to help them or hurt them? Does it matter? Yeah, it does make a difference. Huh? Loyalty, you know, can I count on this person? Be loyal. Would you go with them no matter what? Would you bear their burdens? Would you help them? Would you encourage them? That's what we're supposed to do as Christians. We need to be loyal to our church. That means, again, the word means faithful. Loyalty. Loyalty is saying, okay, I put my church before television. I put my church before ball games. Right? I put my church before family activities. Oh, and people get all bent out of shape over that. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. You know, I know you want to see Uncle Cletus. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Right on the heels of having Uncle Cletus here. I know. You know, I understand. You know, well, we only get together once a week. I'm just telling you honestly, you know, do we believe the Bible or not? Faithful. I'll go with thee. Do you know one of the greatest blessings when I got the attendance report? It was wonderful, all the children we had here, and we had around 300 children, I believe, pretty much every night. But the most awesome thing was nearly 200 workers. That's awesome. I mean, I'd read that and just thrill at all the people it takes to do that. And it wouldn't bother me if we had twice as many workers as children. Not that the children attendance would be low, but that the worker attendance would be so high. Why? Because it's your church. Amen. I'm amazed how many people miss things. While I'm on that, bless God, if you have a teenager, have them in the teen meeting at 5 o'clock. Amen. I do not understand that. I just started going. I'm not even a teenager. I'm 50 years old. I haven't been a teenager for years. Just started going to the teen meetings, and I'm amazed how many kids aren't there. I don't understand it. It's a teen meeting. Who's it for? Teens. Amen. I don't know what's on television during that time. I have no clue. I'm usually at men's prayer meeting. I'm just saying, why in the world, if you have a teen would include 13 and up. If it has teen at the end of it, it's a teen. That's good, isn't it? Why wouldn't your teens be in the teen meeting? Well, I don't know. I just got to, you know, they don't want to go. Well, do they make all the decisions in your home or just some of them? I mean, what? I can't even understand. It's a teen meeting. Why do you suppose teen meetings, why do you suppose adults have teen meetings? For teens. Not for the adults. I mean, I know I'm not going for me. Hello? Be loyal. Be loyal to your church. Go to everything. Amen. I'll go with thee. Could Jonathan have been criticized? Oh, could he ever? You know, Jonathan, you got to admit, I really have not made a whole lot of big moves or changes or anything in 6 years that I've been here. But, I've done some dumb things in my past. Don't amen. But I'm going to tell you something. I've never, never, ever come to a business meeting with a plan like Jonathan had there. Never. I mean, I've used the word faith every now and then, and that's good because we are Christians. But I've never had a plan like this. But you know what the armor, he just said, he didn't question him. He didn't criticize him. He didn't call somebody and tell him. He just said, I'm with you. Isn't that good? By the way, we need to be loyal to new converts as well. That's like loyalty to a baby. Amen? Be loyal to new converts. You know, every now and then, well, they still smoke. Well, pray for them and love them and encourage them and keep them coming to church and be loyal to them. Amen. Don't get after them. Don't. It's not your job. The Holy Spirit's good at it. Amen. You know, I sat in church week after week after week. And you've heard the story. My wife and I would go, and we were hippies, and you know, people did not. We didn't look like anybody else, we just came to church, and people were friendly, and they loved us, and they cared about us, and they encouraged us, and I'm a pastor now. Be loyal to new converts. Amen. They're new converts. They just got saved. They're new. It's like, you know, you look at a baby. You still whine. What's wrong with you? Go back to the nursery and you're going to find out they cry. You know what else they do? They mess their diapers. Huh? You say, oh, I'm shocked. Go back there. You'll really be shocked. Tell you what, I think Ben carries out the trash. Carry out the trash from the nursery. Check it out. They do. You know? Well, I can't believe they would do that. You know, be loyal to new converts or babies. They're just getting started. They're new. It's all new to them. And praise the Lord for that. Be loyal to the saints. Number four, be loyal to sinners. Who's going to reach sinners if we don't? Who will reach them? Will the bartender? You know, bartenders, they say they're good counselors. Oh, boy, no, they just listen to drunks. That's all they do. You know, a good counselor is somebody that has a truth, and they'll give that truth. We need to give that to sinners. We need to be soul conscious. In all we do, we need to be asking the question, how can we reach the lost? And we can't get sidetracked on all the issues. You know, I'm against abortion, it's murder. I'm against homosexuality, it's ungodly, it's not right. Political things, we cannot get sidetracked with that. We need to reach people with the gospel. You know, you can hate the sin, but love the sinner. We need to be loyal to sinners to the point where I ask myself daily, how can I help them? How can I help the lost person? Okay, I don't like what they do. I'm not excited about what they're doing. But they need to hear about Jesus. And by the way, they're only doing what I used to do. That's why the Bible says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed. That whole long list of wicked things, and such were some of you. We need to be loyal to sinners and tell them the truth. We need to be loyal to sinners and give out tracts. We need to be loyal to sinners and tell them about Jesus. Yeah. Stay loyal to reaching them. And then the last thing, number five. Boy, it's so crucial. Be loyal to the Savior. Do you say to Jesus, I'm with you, Lord? No matter what you say, I'm with you. I love the verse 7 because of what the armor bearer says here. And by the way, I've had many armor bearers by my side. This little passage here, when it talks about a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side, is the idea of being caught between a rock and a hard place. And I have been there with my armor bearers before. And there is nothing greater in this world than somebody to say, I'm with you.
Man, that's right.
Hey, you know, can you say that to the Savior today? Can you say, I am with thee according to thy heart? He said, all that is in thine heart. Hey, armor bearer, the armor bearer said, Jonathan, do all that is in, whatever's in your heart, I'm with you. We'll give an invitation in a few minutes, and there will be folks, I guarantee, during that invitation, you will question God, what he spoke to you about, instead of saying, whatever's in your heart, God, whatever you lay on my heart, I'll do it. All over the room. It happens every service. It's called quenching the spirit. When God speaks to us and we say, oh, I know you don't mean that. What about do all that is in thine heart, God? I am with thee according to thy heart. I'm with you. You know, I guarantee had there been the armor bearer union, they would have said to the armor bearer, hey, do you know you could die? Do you know that's not in your contract? Do you understand that you don't get any special raise for this? Do you realize you could suffer? You might be laughed at if you go with him. You could lose your friends. It might cost you some money. The armor bearer just looked at Jonathan and said, I love you, Jonathan. I'm with you. Why can't we do that with our Lord Jesus? Yeah, I understand. Sometimes taking a stand, people do laugh. Sometimes taking a stand, you do suffer. Sometimes taking a stand, you might lose what are called friends. Yeah, sometimes taking a stand, it'll cost. I'm going to tell you something. He said this to me, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Then I'm going to stay by his side, even if it's between a rock and a hard place. You know, a lot of times when you serve God, you do find yourself there. Huh? You do find yourself there. He said, I'll never leave thee. Well, I'm not going to leave him. Boy, how many times have I taken him to the wrong place? Hello. Sin, discouragement, doubt. Yeah, I've taken him there before, but he was there telling me it's okay, it's wrong. Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. He stayed with me. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to be loyal. I'm going to be loyal. Old Testament sin of the nation was to follow other gods. I'm afraid that in Christianity today, we have a lot of following other gods. And we need to be loyal to our God. I am with thee. God, I'm with you, no matter what. Whatever the plan, I'm with you, God. I don't even need to know the plan. I'm with you. I'll follow you, no matter what. I'm with you, sinner. I'm with you. What can I do? How can I help you, sinner, lost person? How can I help you get saved? How can I show you Jesus Christ? It might take a couple of weeks. It might take a couple of months. I might be your neighbor. It might take several years. I'm going to be the best neighbor in all the world because I'm going to be loyal to you getting saved because I want to see you saved more than anything else. Hey, I'm with you, saint, fellow Christian. I'm with you. I'm with you all the way. You're going to do some wacky things and so am I, but you can count on me. If you need me, all you have to do is call. If there's something I can do, something that I have, that'll help you, I'm going to be loyal to you. I'm going to be loyal to the fellow saints. Hey, Bren, I'm with you. You know you can count on me. I don't care what it is. It does not matter. You can count on me. I will be loyal to you. You're my spouse. 32 years ago, it'd be 32 years in September, 33, I don't even remember now, I'm getting old. Anyway, but you know what? I may not remember the years, but I guarantee I remember the day that I said, I'll be loyal to you no matter what. It doesn't matter. The devil has done everything he can, and you can count on me. Hey, listen, can you say that today to your spouse? In the United States of America, as a citizen of this great country, what an honor it is to be a citizen. You ask some folks that are trying to become citizens of our country how wonderful it is to be a citizen. Some of you were born into it, and you just take it for granted. I get so tired of all that stuff. You know what? I'm loyal. I have no problem at all pledging allegiance to the flag. I have no, I'm the loudest singer on the Star Spangled Banner. Even if I can't hit the high note, I'll screech to try. You know why? Because I'm here to do whatever I can for my country. I love this country. I hate to see many of the things I see. Well, preacher, what can you do? I'm going to just keep preaching the truth. Amen. I'm going to try to win people to Jesus Christ. We're going to keep running buses. We're going to keep going soul winning. We're going to keep telling people about Jesus in everything we do. To me, that's the greatest thing we can do for America. Because it's up to God to bless our country. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed.